Ladies and gentlemen, the red or the blue pill, the choice is yours.
Welcome to Light on Conspiracies, the place where truth and love transcend the darkness. Your host, Peace Award-winning researcher Ole Damigod. To listen to this full interview, just go to lightonconspiracies.com and subscribe.
In July this summer, I'm going to go to a conference in Prague in the Czech Republic. And today I had the great pleasure of being joined by my fellow speaker there, Sandra Fecht, and her friend Francis Toews. This interview, I hope, is going to be really interesting. I'm sure I'm going to learn a lot from it, because this is an area I'm not so used to being. I'm getting more and more into these areas, because whatever it is you dig into when it comes to these dark conspiracies, you come back to the same very dark mud or very smelly, disgusting stuff. And I'm sorry we have to do this, but it is necessary for us to be able to heal, to expose these dark forces. And so, Sandra, would first of all, very welcome to the program, both of you. I feel honored to have you on the show. And Sandra, would you mind taking us on a little background tour of your history and how you come to this point?
Certainly. And first of all, I'd like to say I'm very honored to be here. Thank you for inviting us. Okay, I was born in England immediately after the Second World War, and like most people of my generation, their parents and everyone around them was in post-traumatic stress disorder. We didn't call it that back then. We called it shell shock, or sometimes the soldiers were denigrated because it was just like you didn't have the right stuff if you couldn't be tough through it all, if you had no emotion through it all. And so it was a very kind of gloomy household. And even as a small child, I made a decision that I was going to learn as much as possible in order to deal with this gloom that was all around. So I started on a journey of learning, especially when I grew up, of learning about post-traumatic stress. But I think a lot of my training happened from my, you know, living with two people in PTSD for so long. When I first started out, I thought therapy was just a nice cup of tea, you know, pat on the back, you're going to be fine, God loves you, and, you know, go out there again and you'll be fine. However, I worked in various types of therapy jobs. In the 1970s, I moved up to the Northwest Territories. And at that time, there was a totally different culture, a culture that had only been exposed to the Euro-Canadian way of life for one generation. And they were magnificent people. They had the healed feminine and the healed masculine still intact. And everybody was so grounded within their own truth. No one ever told anyone else what to do. If a hunter went out in that society and killed a moose, brought the moose back to the tribe, the weak, the women, the children would eat first. The hunter and the chief would eat last. And so it was really a political system that took care of the people. There were no deceptions. They knew about spirit. They knew about signs, symbols, symptoms, and how to heal them in a natural way. It was a hard way of life. You know, I mean, 40 below and you have to go out to the bush to get your food. It's a hard way of life, but it was also something very spirit-filled and very pure. Later in the 70s, I worked in a training school for young women. These girls had been runaways and thieves and so on. They were hugely damaged people. Some of them had been prostituting since they were 9. And we never, as a team of therapists back then, thought of sexual abuse. We just thought they were bad girls. We didn't ask who taught them this, where did they learn about sexuality, where did they get the business acumen to run you know, to be a prostitute at that age. And as shocking and ridiculous as that sounds today, that was indeed what was, that was the zeitgeist. That was what was happening at the time. In the early 80s, I worked at a hospital in Aurelia, and there was a call for volunteers to come and learn about sexual abuse. Well, I had never heard of sexual abuse, and I'm always on a search for truth, and so I volunteered. It was 5 hours a week for 2 years, and I was the only one from the hospital that had agreed to do that. And, you know, we had some very difficult cases. I had one woman, and this is an alert to your listeners that this may be triggering. So just if you're easily triggered, you know, you might want to block your ears or something for a moment. I had one woman who was seriously mutilating herself and her genitals. And after I had had this training, I thought, there is something, you know, that I think might be sexual abuse, because we weren't looking for it. We didn't initially have the language or the skills, nothing. And when I brought that to rounds at the hospital, it was kind of like the beginning of the end for me, because as far as my reputation in town went, because everybody thought I was just perverted, that I was that it wasn't happening except in my mind. And it was a very, very difficult time. However, I persisted and thought, I have to figure out how to help these people. I mean, a doctor doesn't back down from cancer, and we don't back down from this. So I did. The 80s is what I call the therapy war time, between trying to convince others that A, this was happening, that children were being abused, and B, that we should take an active role in doing something about it, and C, that what we could do would be helpful and not harmful. And if at any point you want to shorten this up or ask a question, Ole, just let me know. The other thing, so I started making methods that would work to uncover and treat sexual abuse. And I got pretty good at this. And in doing so, stumbled, absolutely stumbled across ritual satanic abuse. And I did not believe it one bit when I started. Initially, I thought the people who were reporting this to me were just plain crazy, and I would send them back to their doctor or their psychiatrist for more medication. But when you've heard enough of those stories from enough different people, you have to listen. They're not all crazy in the same way. And I'd heard a lot about chanting and robes and candles and animal sacrifice and human sacrifice and so on and so on. And at some point, I got to be smart enough to realize, you know, there really is something going on. Maybe we should be quiet about it. This one lady would not be quiet, and I received a death threat. And then I submitted a police report. My building was spray painted. I did not know the symbols had that much power at the time, but I later found out they were satanic symbols. This was well before iPhone, so I didn't take any pictures. And sorry, go ahead.
No, I would just like to say that the things Sandra is talking about is, for many people, myself included, very difficult to listen to, because it's so painful if you really take this as being true. So I think many of us just wants to defend ourselves and not listen. But the intention that this program is brought to you with is the intention of healing and love and compassion. And that I hope that you who are listening to this will listen in that way, and see that this is not just some sensational news crap that is just being spread out there as some black negative information. This is, we need, just like with a horrible cancer growth, we need to expose it and take out the smelly stuff so that the body itself can heal. And so this is the reason why we get into these dark areas. So Sandra, I just wanted to mention that. And so please continue.
Well, thank you for that, because one of the things that I neglected to say is that the end goal of this is for you to walk in grace and love and peace and harmony no matter what. Mm. You know, it's the only way we're going to deal with this. It's not about fear. They want us to be in fear all the time. So when I present this stuff, You know, it's not about fear. It's about opening it and being brave enough to be able to face it. And we have to do that for the sake of our children and the world. The other thing is, you don't get any glory from this, certainly not initially. You know, I was the crazy person in town for the longest time because I believed this stuff. And, you know, but you can't, if you're ethical, you can't just look for approval from your colleagues or approbation from the general population. You follow the truth. If you're a healer, you have to follow the truth. I know healers that have backed down because of being threatened by the CIA. When they threatened, not the CIA, I live in Canada, but when I was threatened by this group and they said, well, back off or else, I don't know where I found these words, but I said, well, I'm not backing off, so I guess it's plan B, you know, and they tried to intimidate me and all my police records disappeared. Every time I made a police report, it vanished. Mm-hmm. At that point, I knew it was really true. So after that, it just got deeper and darker. One of the things that I do want to say is that historically, we have been led away from dealing with energy work. If you look back at the witch burnings and so on, where between 3 and 9 million women were murdered and friends moving.
Two more and a friend. Thanks, friend.
Anyway, that like 3 to 9 million women were murdered because they knew this type of thing. And then with the European imperialistic surge, they went around the world, and anywhere people knew anything esoteric or sacred, they killed the people who knew it. They took a copy of the information back to the Vatican and destroyed all other copies. And I swear that there is a genetic memory in us where we remember that if we go into this esoteric kind of information, we're going to be hurt. Well, we're not going to be hurt. It's our salvation. This is one of the ways through which we are controlled. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the other thing I was going to say is you don't get into this for the ego of it either. I mean, trust me, this is, we're not doing this for sensationalism. We're doing this to help everybody listening, because it, even though not everybody has been satanically abused, we are all affected by the same impulse that creates this kind of abuse. Some people are targeted more than others, but we're all targeted if you look around. So,
Would you mind if you go, what year was it when you we went through your history? What type of year, more or less, were you?
Where I started to realize this?
Yeah, exactly.
It would be about 1990 or so, and I struggled with it for a while, continuing to refine the method. And what I found is that a nice alpha state was the place where people should be in order to retrieve this, the information, because people repress stuff that they can't process. If they can't process it and it's too difficult, the body secretes cortisol. They stuff the information behind the cortisol curtain. And they don't remember, but every time you stuff something away like that, you get a symptom, and the symptom tugs on your sleeve and says, hey, remember that you have lost part of your soul. And in order to get it back, you have to remember what happened to you. And you need to get the events, the triggers, and the programs, because we live by the programs that we put in. So for example, if somebody was horribly abused, then they might think the world is dangerous, you can't trust anybody, you know, I'm a victim, and they live by that, those programs for the rest of their lives. And what I found is that, A, you have to get them into an alpha brainwave state where they have the control to step into the situation, into the memory, or step out of it, and that there are energetic methods such as swaying, you know, where you can sway and follow your fingertips with your eyes, or tap, you know, Gary Craig's tapping method. I don't know if you know that, Ole, but that is also effective for those who have been mind controlled with a left-right motion. What I suggest they do is just hit their shoulder like this, while they are releasing whatever the original program was and bringing on board a new program that is reworded in a positive way. So if somebody feels they're a victim, instead of saying, I release the vibration that I'm a victim, and then put in, I'm not a victim, well, that won't work because you're still using the same word victim. Mm-hmm. But if they put in, I am a survivor, I am a winner, it resets the whole energetic being. And the energetic being is where the power is. If you get more power from doing the wrong thing, you will always do it. And so you have to redistribute the amount of energy that goes from one program to the other. And I don't know if I've been doing this for so long that I miss where people don't see it. So I'm going to ask you if you have any questions about that.
I would like to go back and ask. So I think for many people, it's just the wording of satanic rituals and satanic abuse, and that sounds just so far off the scale that it's very extreme. But according to you, this is a lot more normal than most people are aware of. Is that true?
It's a lot more prevalent. You know, it's still abnormal, but it's a lot more prevalent. At one point, I was talking to First Nations social worker in the States, and I said, I figure it's impacted about 1 in 3 people. And in her very grounded way, she looked at me and she said, your numbers are too low. So I'm not sure. I mean, how many people were sexually abused? I would think at least 25% of the women of the world have been sexually abused, a minimum. And we missed it totally in my generation. So how many people are satanically abused? I don't know. It's not on the census, but a lot.
Yeah. Also, men are involved in this as well, as victims also. So, but did you see when you were getting in touch with these victims, did they come from a specific type of group in society, or was it from all over the place, or a specific age, or?
Well, I think the younger that the people are inducted into the ceremonies, the more brain damage can be done, the more controllable they are. And so, but they can be brought in at any age.
But also the social strata that they come from.
It's anything, low to high, as far as I can see. It doesn't matter. Those are irrelevant. The men's clubs are hugely involved. The churches are involved, which I know would be blasphemy to most people. There are good people within the churches. There are good priests, there are good ministers, well-intentioned people. But the churches have been compromised. If you take a look at the history of the Illuminati, their goal was to get somebody on every single board in the world and to manipulate it. So it doesn't matter what board you're talking about, the medical board, the pharmaceutical people, politicians, they're all infiltrated, and I know it sounds crazy and paranoid, but I've done enough reading and enough work that, that's the conclusion I've come to, and I'm not alone. If you look up Ted Gunderson, the former head of the LA FBI, he came to the same decision. You came to it, I think, and I've looked at some of your interviews, and David Icke came to it, and it's not an easy place to come to. It's a real paradigm shift, and you don't win friends doing this. I can clear a room. People are holding their drinks at a cocktail party. Oh, what do you do for a living? And what do you do for a living? And I'm a journalist, or I'm a florist, or whatever, and I deal with satanic abuse, and instantly it's like everybody moves away. It's pretty strong in order to do it.
Ole, may I make a contribution at this point?
Please.
So, I am an experiencer. I don't use the word victim. I am an experiencer of satanic ritual abuse of at least 3 types. So the ancient ritual type, the MK Ultra government, where they made it into a science, and also a very high-tech variety. And if you were to ask me, would I change my past? No, I would not. Because having a past like this puts into sharp perspective what the reality is. Like, we can only really advance if we're dealing with reality. So if we realize that the dark spectrum is real and how it influences us, then we have an opportunity to realize that there is a light spectrum. And that affords all kinds of opportunity for growth and real growth into the things that you talk about, like love and compassion and wisdom and truth. And Carlos Castaneda was taught by a Yaqui Indian man of knowledge named Don Juan Mattis.
And
yeah,
I love him.
Yeah, me too. And Don Juan said that, for example, in the church, there were many very good people who were disciplined and who were attempting to follow the path to something higher, but that in fact, that path had been obscured and the true opportunities and potential had been completely hidden from them, and therefore they could not accomplish. With what we are uncovering, the true potential is being exposed, the positive moving into the light and into who we really are. And I for sure would not change anything. And in that sense, it's very, very hopeful.
We're getting a lot of strange sounds coming through. I'm not sure what it is, but have no idea, interference of some kind, but...
we're fine at this end.
Yeah.
Thank you for saying these things, Francis. And the way I see it, most people, if not all people that I know of that have really made it a difference in the world, have gone through absolute hell at some point in their life. Like, I call it boot camp. And
yeah.
But
yeah.
It's the difference from being a victim, go through something and live as a victim, or go through something and learn from it and build your muscles, your spiritual muscles and mental muscles, and do something about it. And this is why I salute people like you who do not back down, who do not step aside, who do not attack it in a violent way either, but saying, absolutely, you're not okay, has to stop. I don't want harm to come your way, but you have to stop messing with us. So let us be free. But the thing is, we need to free ourselves. We cannot wait for someone else to do it. The one you waited for is you, all of us. It's up to us. And I think we are at a point in time where everything is upside down. The things that is supposed to be good is bad. The church is supposed to be wonderful. It turns out, oh my God. The police you're supposed to be able to trust, very sorry, most of them you can't. The authorities are there for your sake, really not, and so on. And it's a painful awakening, but once you get it, it's sort of like, okay, fine, either we're screwed or we'll do something about it, you know? But we have to do it. We can't wait for the authorities to do it. That's why, I mean, I've looked into so many assassinations and false flag operations. I have never, ever approached the authorities because I saw 30 years ago, I started seeing that people that really started going to the investigations and confronting them, so they ended up dead or harassed or whatever, because these investigations are there to cover the whole thing up. Handpick people in key positions. And the darker you go, the deeper you go into your areas as well, same thing, it just goes, you get stonewalled or frozen out or disgraced or whatever, or put away or put in an asylum and so on. So
it's a very difficult walk.
It's not for fame and fortune that you get yourself into these areas, that's for sure.
Ollie, I would like to speak to something you said about it's up to us to do, you know, to do the healing for the planet, for ourselves. And this is from my own experience. Mm-hmm. Maybe others will find that's true for them, that this is kind of a prison planet in a way. And I even go as far as to say that it is controlled by Satan. Mm-hmm. And that there was a consciousness, a great consciousness of light that came into the world to open the prison doors. But each of us has to walk through the prison door. Like, darkness does not respect us. Darkness tries to deceive and manipulate us and get us to give things up. But light respects us so much that it gives us free will. So on the healing journey, such as I and others are engaged in, it's us who have to take the steps. Mm-hmm. Like you say, we can't, it won't work if we try to let someone else do our healing for us. We have to take the steps. And Dr. David Hawkins, a very famous psychiatrist, said, the path is narrow and steep. Mm. Waste no time. So take those steps.
Mm. I said to you before the show started, Ollie, that one of the things that I feel is important is for everyone to take personal responsibility, because we have been misled into letting Big Brother take care of us. So with our spirituality, we go to church. We don't approach spirit directly. And I've heard from one of my clients that religion, the word religion is, it comes from the word religion, to mean get back into order. So when I was with the Native group, no, I'm not interested. Get back in line, you know. We don't want you going out there and directly contacting God. Whereas that Native group that I was in contact with back in the early 70s, every one of them had their own direct connection with God. They didn't need anybody else, you know, and they were so strong in their own power. And we have, I've never met people like that, and we have lost that totally. And we are so living in fear and so dependent and irresponsible, in a sense, for our own lives, that we don't even see it. You know, a lot of people don't even know how to cook for themselves. You know, they open a can, and those companies that make those products, they're not necessarily, I mean, there may be some good companies, but they're not necessarily looking at how to make us healthy so much as they're looking at how to make a profit. And we have given up our control and our power in every single way over the education of our children, which is basically, you know, it's a mind control situation, especially with religion. When you can connect with God directly, I mean, when we're doing healing sessions, the information comes clean, it comes directly, and we always check it with muscle testing and other energy ways to be sure that we're getting the correct information. In the music industry, I'm sure you know about Satanism in the music industry and Mark Devlin's work, and the 432 versus 440 hertz. You know, even the fact that our shoes are made of rubber and not leather, which prevents grounding. And it would behoove, no, hoof and foot, pun intended, but it would help every one of us to really examine our lives. You know, Thoreau said the unexamined life is not worth living. And I would tend to agree with that. You know, what are you doing your time here on earth? It's holy, it's precious. And are you making a difference? Anyway, so I wanted to add those kinds of things. I would also add that we are all being traumatized in different ways. And all those veterans, like my parents, who fought what they thought was a noble cause, you know, they fought to bring democracy and so on. Those wars are just internationally sanctioned ritual abuse. They're blood sacrifices. And we don't need them. Who benefits from this? The very wealthy, the arms people, and the infrastructure friends who rebuild things that they bombed with the, you know, worn out old bombs that they would have had to pay huge dollars to get rid of. We need to take personal responsibility, examine our lives, say, how can I grow my food, or where can I get good food? What do I have to offer? One of the things that I learned when I was living up north was to really listen to language for the concepts that it offers. And for example, when they talked about a child, they didn't say, this is my child. You know, there's that ownership, I'm the boss of you kind of thing. They would say, this is the person who came through me. And they respected the adult mature spirit in that child from the second that child was born. And I think we have to, you know, that creates a totally different kind of person. When you're respected totally from the second you're born, there's a total different dynamic. And so we have to step back from ourselves. And I always tell my clients to step back and up, you know, see yourself as a spirit having a human experience. And to work at it from that angle, you know, so I'm Sandra in this life. I'm a spirit pretending to be Sandra. What do I have to learn? How come I put on this package instead of something else? What was it that I was to learn from this experience? And then take an objective view and don't attach to whatever your identity is. You know, are you the pretty one? Are you the smart one? Are you the one who wins, or the one who is rich, or whatever it is? You know, just see it from a spiritual point of view. You were going to say something there.
No, I don't think I was.
Okay. Let me get the lock.
I just want to say that I'm going to have Mark Devlin on this show as well. Because Mark, I really like what he's been doing. Mark is a DJ who's been, I think he's been DJing in some 40 different countries. I have no idea about the music scene at all, the hip-hop scene and so on. And then he started noticing more and more about these hidden messages in videos and music, in the covers and so on. And that just totally took him into a different road. So now he's touring around in Europe and in the U.S. as well. I think you, Sandra, are going to be at the same conference as him in, is it Philadelphia?
Oh, yeah.
And so he is very, very, because it's right in our face. It is not hidden anymore. It is in our face. Mm-hmm. And in all areas where we're going to come back to who they are, but where they can affect us, they have infiltrated these areas, the movies, films, media, government, wherever they can get to us, it's they're there now. So we are at a point where the thing is to expose these metastases, or this, from this cancer growth. And the good news is that the group, once you see who's really behind this, the sense of it all is so small, it's ridiculous. Very, very, it's there in the thousands. We are in the billions. But we need to understand that it is like that. The balance is so out that to our favor. So we should really just laugh at them and just stop doing what they want us to do and just stop it all, you know. Thank you. I'm not going to war anymore. I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to hate my neighbor. I'm not going to hate a Muslim. I'm not going to hate it. You tell me to do this. I'm just not going to do it. I'm going to have a beer and a good laugh and enjoy my life and enjoy my family. So all the things that I do, people say, oh, it's so dark. How can you be in the dark? The only thing I focus on is to break the spell of fear, to make it visible to people that it's not real. These things, so many of them, are not even happening. Just because the black box in front of you says that this happened, once you start looking into it, really dig into it, I often go on location and look for victims of these false flags, or try to really expose what happened, looking for the truth, not trying to prove something, looking for the truth. And so many times I've come up with this was a stage event. It didn't even take place. And here we are being told, you should be afraid, you should be afraid, accept more and more control, and so on. So, and this is the area where you are in as well. And I think it's so beautiful to help this group, that you are helping to loosen this grip of fear that is holding so many people by the throat. And I also think that is why so many are being abused and pressed down to get their head down in the mud. It's for control, domination. And I don't believe in domination. I think take away the domination, this world would just turn into a totally different place, a beautiful place.
Uh-huh. I think that one of the things I say to my clients is you have to individuate from yourself. Like, don't over-identify with being who you are. You know, that's temporary. You're internal. You have to individuate from your family of origin, you know, because you've got to see them, the gifts they brought to you and the not so great things, so you can change that. But you also have to individuate from your culture, because we are so tied into this North American or European way of life. We don't see alternatives. And if you don't have a comparison, then you can't notice what's going on. Even in our commercials, just to support what you were saying, Ole, even in our commercials on TV in North America these days, they always, if they show adults with their children, the children are always like, oh, you know, with the adults. It's so rude. And one of the things, you know, when the Illuminati officially got together in Brussels in 1774, one of their objectives was to create immorality, and to another objective was to ruin the family. And that's indeed what they're doing. Increasingly, the state is taking control of the family and mind controlling them. And Jay Parker, I think, says that there's something like 800,000 children a year, 800,000 children a year that disappear. And these children, your children, are being used in terms of sex slavery, being trained to be the next generation of Satanism, Satanists being sacrificed to Satan. You know, it's crazy. And because they control the media, which was another one of their goals, we don't hear about this. There is a book called Why Johnny Can't Come Home. And it is the story of one mother who took the time and trouble to write out what happened to her son when he paid one little visit to her after years and years of having disappeared. And we have to smarten up and see in every single aspect of our society how we're being controlled.
I want to say also, one of my other guests is going to be Charlotte Isabit. I'm not sure how, I think that's how you pronounce her name, Isabit. But she was working, she got a job under the Reagan administration being responsible for the education. And she came to a new job. She felt, I have no idea why I got this top position. But she was put in her office and they said, okay, here, please sit and do nothing. And she was like, okay, what? She didn't get it. So she was just sitting there picking her nose, not knowing what to do day after day, and getting very confused, until one day she started checking, you know, just because she was bored, she started looking into the wardrobes, the folders, everything. And she found all of this information that was left there by her, the one who had a job before her, who had forgotten to clean the things out. And she saw the whole agenda about how the idea to destroy real education, to destroy families, to this whole thing you're talking about, how to get sexuality in on a very low age, how to get everyone connected to the internet, everybody with computers, with instant gratification, so that there's no patience, no urge to learn or patience to learn, and just to destroy everything through education. I tell you, this is one heck of a woman, and I'm really looking forward to having her on the show so she can tell her story. In the end, she had her girlfriend. she called her girlfriend and said, listen, we need to do something. So what she did was every day at lunchtime, she filled her briefcase with all of these documents, took them with her to, they had lunch. They swapped two briefcases. Her friend went home, started photocopying it, and she took the old ones back. And then they kept doing this for months and months. And now Charlotte has written several books called, I think, The Dumbing Down of America.
America, yeah.
So on. So this is not just a theory. This is for real. Boom. But part of this whole thing, how to destroy everything that is natural, how to destroy the balance, how to destroy nations, how to destroy races, how to destroy education, how to destroy, it's a matter, the forces behind this just want to destroy it all, and out of the ruins build their new world. And this is not a world for us, I would say.
No, that social engineering part, you know, that largely is originated in the Tavistock Institute. But I look at what's happening with some of the Muslims. We were in Europe last summer, and, you know, all these, God bless them, refugees, you know, that are being allowed into Europe, but then there is very few social programs to support them, and or not enough. I mean, we actually witnessed people lying in doorways, whole families with young children, you know, with a young man with his feet propped up against the doorways to protect his wife and family behind him, sleeping there for the night. I mean, think about that. How uncomfortable, no facilities, how threatening and dangerous if some of the wrong people come by. You know, so we have to recognize what is being done to us. We have to recognize that we're a totally abused society. And step back from that and do something different, you know, speak out. And everybody has a role, everyone, the linguist, the fashion designer. I mean, even when you wear black, it reduces your frequency. When you wear artificial fabric, it reduces your frequency. As a child, when I read the Bible, I used to think, there's a sentence in Leviticus that said, don't wear cloth of mixed fiber. And if you see yourself as a transmitter, an energetic transmitter receiver, and you look at Emoto's work, you know, that we're mostly water and it's whatever you think and say that is going to determine the quality of the crystals in the water that you are. When you're swearing, you get a very deformed crystal. When you think bad thoughts, like hate and so on, you get a very deformed crystal. When you say good words, and the Bible says that life and death is in the power of the word, when you get a very good thought, you're sending love, you're doing love, you get these very high quality, beautiful crystals, and this is within you. And then you can transmit and receive very beautiful information. And I really feel, Ollie, that the only reason that people like you or me or Frank can do the work we do is because we have enough light in us that we can face this darkness because we bring our own inner light there, you know? And that relationship with the unseen needs to be fostered. You know, it's really out there. We're told like spirits and curses and all that. Those things aren't real. You know, we're so smart as Westerners, have to be scientifically proven. Well, believe me, science is compromised. You know, you look at the studies that, said back in the 60s, and I believe these studies, you know, I hold them personally responsible for whatever health difficulties I have, that sugar is good, oils were bad. You know, I basically cut out oil from my diet for 20 years and ate sugar, you know. Now we find out that the people at Harvard, those scientists, were paid off by the sugar folks and to put out this false information, scientifically proven. We don't need science like that, but what we do need is to recognize the power of the invisible and the power of spirit, that there really are energies floating around the room that can influence us. And I have many stories about that, two that I like to share in particular. you know, believe in magic. I guess that's what I'm saying. Believe in the magic of life and what is there. There's so much in the spaces. One time I was working with a young woman whose father had died suddenly, and it was only my second interview with her. You know, I didn't know anything about her belief system. And she came in. I'm aware that her father's spirit is in the room, you know. And I didn't want to say anything because I did not know what her belief system was. But eventually, he was pretty insistent. So I said, well, do you believe about life after death? And do you believe in spirits? And she gave me all the right answers. So I said, you know, I think your dad is in the room now. And she was like, oh, okay. And I said, he has something to tell you. Well, you think if you had left a beautiful teenage daughter, you would say, I love you. You know, if you had died, I'm so proud of you. I'll be watching over you. But he didn't say any of that. He said, the roof. And I'm thinking, I can't tell this grieving teenager the roof, you know. But eventually I said, look, it's kind of a weird message, but here it is. I'm going out on a limb here, you know. He said the roof. And she said, well, he finished doing the roof the day before he died. And his energy is going, no, no, no. And I'm saying, you're saying he did it. He's saying he didn't finish it. And I thought, what kind of a roof would she think was finished and he think was not finished? And the roof was a steel roof. I said, was it a steel roof? She said, yes. And I said, did he put the ice guards up? Which, you know, you're from a northern climate. You know how important it is to put the ice guards up so the ice doesn't sheet off the roof and hurt somebody. She thought, she said, no. And at that second, he disappeared, you know. So he came back, that invisible presence, to communicate to her that your mom needs to put the ice guards on. You know, how would I know that? I don't know that. But when you get to a certain frequency, then you are in communication with all that is. And whatever needs to come through, that comes through. You're not in control of it. You just have to get to Psychic Constant and in a nice little alpha state or whatever state it is. And then you hold that energy and the information you need at that moment comes to you. You know, you will be guided. And that's the kind of education we need. You know, education comes from the word educare, to draw forth that which is within somebody. You know, not to ram down state controlled stuff. Anyway, that's my encouragement to people to meditate, to pray, to believe in the unseen, and to go for the light. You know, it's just such an exciting journey.
But it's also, I think most people who have been inspired, it means in spiritus, when body and mind aligns, spirit enters. And in my humble opinion, it's like we just download, you know, because I don't know about you, but maybe trying to, I know I've been trying to write lyrics for a song or something like that, been trying on my own for months and come, nothing works. And then suddenly at the right moment, it's like dictating. And where did it come from? I don't know. So I no longer take credit for some of the things that I do because I just feel, whoa, I'm just very happy just being part of it. And also, like, before any interview or before I go up and speak or before I approach people in uniform or whatever, I'm not a religious person, at least not the one religion you were talking about, getting back in line. But I am a spiritual being, and what I ask for is get my ego out of the way, all the saints and sages, all the angels, whatever, please assist me, my ancestors will assist me in doing and saying what is needed to be said for the betterment of everybody, for the compassion and the forgiveness and the healing of the world, and then get me out of the way. And this is, I'm not doing this to polish my halo. I think this is anyone that puts themselves in the situation will see that there's a massive difference than if your ego is involved, because then you're trying to force something and it will be met often with resistance. But when you come from the other thing, when you're out of the way and you just are part of delivering, like an empty flute that is just playing whatever is needed to be played, it resonates in the heart of people, and something happens. There's a healing there that takes place, which just, it blows me away. This is why I officially put my life on the line. I mean, you know, because I'm up against some dark forces, but I'm happy to do it. Also because it's such a joy, this incredible healing and these things that happens. It's just so beautiful, but often with these dark shadows surrounding it. But that is where you see the light. If you're in a very dark room, you light one candle, my God, how beautiful is that? If you're sitting in the sunshine, you light a candle, you won't even see it. So it's not the best and the opposite and everything in this universe.
Yeah, and that's the truth, you know. And the thing is to let your own little light shine, as hackneyed as that may be, as an expression, it's bring out your own inner joy. Mm-hmm. We talked earlier about fear, and I mean, some of the stories I have heard while in doing therapy with people, you would not believe, mm-hmm. you know, I can tell some of them on this broadcast perhaps today, but when we meet in Prague in July, I think it's the July 22nd weekend, is it not? Something like that with Alexandra. Then I can share some of the deeper stories. But the whole thing is they're trying to scare us.
Mm-hmm.
Have courage, have faith, feed yourself properly, because you really do need those oils. Those oils, you know, help to give you courage and so on. And be in joy no matter what. I always joke that America is a wealthy nation. And for a while there under the Bush administration, they had this three-point system of how afraid you should be today. Is it yellow? Is it orange? Or the big one, is it red? If it's red, you've got to walk around trembling all day because something could go wrong. You know, we in Canada, we didn't have such a rich country, you know, so we had to depend on the Americans to tell us how afraid to feel.
Or not.
If you can laugh about it, you've already halfway defeated it.
I totally agree. Listen, we're coming to the end of the first hour. Could I please ask you to share your contact details, how people can contact you or support you, or how we can help you accomplish what you would like to happen?
Oh, I love that question. Yes, my name is Sandra, Sandra, Becht, F as in Frank, E-C-H, T as in Tom. My email is sandrafecht@rogers.com. I do have a website and I do have a Facebook page. Happy to accept almost anyone on Facebook. Not looking for dates, by the way. Happily married and I'm old and I have like 5 children and 11 grandchildren and a great grandchild. So the dating thing is done for me, but I wish you all well. But if you're interested in the work, I'm more than happy to hear from you. I'm also not very technological, so if I don't answer something, forgive me. I'm something like 3,000 emails behind. I don't even know how to get into my webpage. My son has to show me again. How you can help me accomplish my mission. What a great question. Yes, I like to wake up therapists. So if there are any healers or therapists who would like a workshop and you could get a group of people together, enough people so we could pay for transportation, hotel, and maybe one day even wages, you know, because right now I'm giving all this information away for free and I lose money, you know, back home from not doing my practice. So if you get in touch with me, sandrafecht@rogers.com, then, if you can arrange a workshop, I'm happy to do it, with one little exception that we'll talk about after the break. And Fran, I don't know if you want to give contact details.
I don't really have a way that people can contact me directly at this point, but if there was a question for me, it could be addressed through Sandra's contact information.
For sure. Excellent. Okay. So I will see you in a very short while.
Okay. Pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
To listen to this full interview, just go to lightonconspiracies.com and subscribe. Give yourself the gift of truth and awareness while supporting Ole's hard efforts to get it out there.
Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.